I came across a survey, a study, last week that had been conducted recently. It was a study on stress. There were 2,000 people who were involved in this study. And the result of it is what captured my attention. Of the 2,000 that were a part of the study, 88% of them said that the holidays between Thanksgiving and Christmas was the most stressful time of the year. Now, what it was that grabbed me was that 88%. 88% say that these days here in December are the most stressful days of their year. So I got to thinking about that. And I thought, well, okay. So now, in addition to the holiday stress, people are stressed about the economy. And people are stressed about inflation. And people are stressed about COVID and about their family and their marriage and their children and their parents. And this stress just continues to mount and to mount and to mount until finally the thought struck me that this, which is advertised as the most wonderful time of the year, is in reality, according to this study, the majority of people believe it's the most stressful time of the year. So because of that study, I want to spend 2 Sundays, this one and Lord willing next Sunday, talking about surviving the stress of the holidays. So I want to invite your attention, turn with me now to the book of Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to take a look at 3 verses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think think about these things. A missionary had returned to the States from a distant land. And he told about this group of people that he had found and was working with. He said that these people would weight themselves down every day by wrapping an iron collar around their neck. He said that these collars were so heavy that the people were not able to function as they should have functioned. And he said these collars were so heavy that they almost were just unable to do anything that they needed to do. The missionary then explained that they wore these collars partly because of a superstition that they had, and that they wore these collars partly because of religion, because these people had somehow come to the conclusion that if we will punish our flesh, God will be pleased with that. And so every day they strapped these iron collars on themselves, and they were unable to function and to go about life as they should. And it prohibited them from doing many things. Are you listening? Today, we look at that, and that's hard for us to understand. Why in the world would anybody deliberately put that kind of burden on themselves? Yet, today, many have allowed stress to become the iron collar that they wear around their necks. It's heavy. It's burdensome. It keeps us from functioning in life the way that we function, but we daily just strap that collar of stress on and try to go about our lives. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8, Paul makes three very clear points. And all three of these things can help us as we try to survive the stress of the holidays and just survive the stress of everyday life in the 21st century. Three things you need to write down and take home. Number one, Paul says, worry about nothing. Now wait. Don't stop listening. Like most challenges of life, it's easier said than done. Amen. But Paul says, worry about nothing. Look at the first part of verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Now look at the verse. The word anxious that Paul uses literally means different directions. Different directions. Thus, the word anxious here is talking about a divided mind. A mind that has divided itself, and it's here, and it's there, and it's here, and it's there. The old English word worry literally means to choke. How appropriate. Because that's what worry does to us. It chokes us. Listen, stress chokes the strength out of us. It chokes the strength out of us physically. It chokes the strength out of us emotionally. It chokes the strength out of us mentally. It chokes the productivity out of us. So Paul says, listen, do not be anxious about anything. Paul says, listen, worry about nothing. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said exactly the same thing. At the latter part of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives a long discourse on the subject of worry, anxiety. And in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 25, Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, do not be anxious about your life." In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, Jesus says, "Therefore, do not be anxious." Jesus said in Matthew 6 and in verse 34, "Therefore, do not be anxious." Jesus, what are you saying? I'm saying what Paul is going to tell you later, worry about nothing. Dr. Walter Calvert did a study on the things that we worry about. You got it? These are the things that we worry about. And it was a massive study. And here was his findings. Dr. Calvert said that 40% of the things that we worry about are things that will never happen. He said that 30% of the things that we worry about are things in our past. They've already happened. 12% of the things that we worry about were classified as needless health concerns, where we think something is wrong with us. We've made up our mind something is wrong with us, but it turns out nothing was wrong with us. 10%, the study showed, is that 10% of our worries are about things that he called petty. And by petty, that means that if they did happen or if they didn't happen, it wouldn't have an impact on our lives, but we worry about it anyway. Oh, we're driving down the street we live on now. And then finally, the study showed that only 8% of the things that we worry about are, quote, legitimate concerns. 8. Here's what that means. 92% of our worries are a waste of time and energy. Worry about nothing. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not allow your mind to divide itself in all of these different directions and get concerned. Don't allow that. Worry about nothing. Number two has a direct bearing on number one. The second thing that Paul says is he says, pray about everything. Now here's number one, worry about nothing. Number two, pray about everything. Look at verse six. Do not be anxious about anything. That's number one. Worry about nothing. Now look at the rest of the verse. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray about everything. Now here is our idea of what that verse says. Our idea of what that verse says is this. I'm supposed to pray about the big things, and then I am just going to take care of the little things. Now, as sensible as that sounds, even when you say it out loud, that's not what that verse says. That verse says, pray about everything. Brethren, how many times in our lives do little bitty things end up becoming great big things because of our failure to pray about them when they were little bitty things? Listen, in contrast to anxiety, Peter said, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxiety on the Lord because he cares for you. In everything, pray. All your anxieties cast on the Lord. How are you casting them on the Lord? You're praying. Peter says, give the Lord all your anxiety. Peter said, worry about nothing, but everything, you give it to God. Now, what is the lesson here? Brethren, listen to me. The lesson here is to take all your worry time and transfer it into praying time. The hours you spend worrying, just talk to God about it. Now I want you to look at verse 6. The Apostle Paul uses three words in verse 6 to describe everything in prayer. First, he uses the word prayer. Now, that word in verse 6 that's translated in that Bible in your arm that says prayer, that is a very general term. That word means toward. The idea of that word is you're talking toward God. But in a very general term, all of my life I've heard the expression, take it to the Lord in prayer. It's that word. This is the word where when you pray, God bless everybody, everywhere, that ought to be blessed. It's very general. Look at verse 6. The second word that Paul uses is to describe prayer is supplication. Now, supplication, unlike that first word translated prayer, supplication is a very, very specific word. This is the type of prayer that we engage in when we're asking the Lord something very, very specific. Now, yes or no, you have some very specific needs in your life. Listen, sometimes talking to God and saying bless everybody everywhere isn't going to get it. And listen to me, when you approach God, you don't have to sneak up on him. He knows what you don't have to pray all around the world in order to get back to what it is you want. Just tell him what you want. He already knows what you want. But sometimes we want to sneak up on him. Well, I'm praying about all this other stuff before I get to what it is I really want to pray about. You think God doesn't know that's in your mind? Listen, if Aunt Martha, and if you have an aunt named Martha, I don't know it. But if Aunt Martha is sick, then pray that Aunt Martha gets well. That's supplication. You have a specific need. Lord, I got something on my mind. This thing's driving me crazy. Then tell him, God, I got something on my mind. This thing's driving me crazy. Look at the next word. Sometimes we're going to pray very generally. Other times we're going to pray very specifically. Lord, my knee hurts. I need help. Well, we ought to have a sermon on knees someday. Look at the third word, thanksgiving. You know what that is? That's prayers of gratitude. That's prayers of gratitude. Sometimes prayer isn't at all, Lord, gimme, gimme, gimme. Sometimes prayer is just, dear God, thank you for what you've done. I opened my eyes this morning. I stood up on my feet this morning. I look good today. Just all right? Lord, forgive me. But you understand what I'm saying? I'm able to be here today. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for this. Now I want you to follow me because you're going to learn something right here. You're going to learn something right here. We're trying to get through the holidays. We're trying to get through all this mess we living in and still keep a little of our sanity intact. We want to survive the stress that's brought on by all of this. Now listen to me. Paul says, worry about nothing. Why? How am I going to do that? Because you're going to pray about everything. Now watch this. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Now let me give you a principle of God. Every time God tells us to eliminate something from our lives, he will always give us something better to replace what he says to eliminate. Don't worry, pray. Eliminate the stress. Replace it with prayer. Now, if you'll eliminate what he says and if you'll put into practice what he says, watch what the result is. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God. Now, pause. Don't confuse the peace of God with the peace that this world talks about. They're not related. On the last night of his life, Jesus had a very lengthy discussion with the disciples. Many things he told them. Their hearts were hurt. They were anxious. He's explained, I'm leaving you. So Jesus tells them in John 14 and verse 27, Jesus says, peace I give you. And then he explains, but it's not the peace of the world, it's my peace that I give to you. Look at verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Let me explain that to you. The peace of this world is circumstance-oriented. Long as stuff around me is doing okay, then I'm okay. Well, bless God, if things around you have to be okay for you to be okay, you're not going to be okay very many days you live. Because somebody around you always doing something that they shouldn't be doing. And carrying on like they shouldn't be carrying on. But God's peace isn't like that. God's peace isn't circumstance oriented. God's peace is dependent upon my relationship with Him. And the whole world around me can fall apart and I can still have peace with God because He and I are still going to be okay. Look at verse 7. I'm trying to get through it. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Now here's what the peace of God does. It guards your heart. The word heart there means your emotions. That's what we let get away from us. It will guard your hearts and your minds. Your minds, that's your intellect. If you will eliminate worry, if you will replace every minute you worry with a minute that you're going to pray, then the peace of God will stand guard over your emotions and over your intellect. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. It'll change your life. Number 3. And we don't nearly talk about this enough, and Cliff mentioned it this morning in class. Paul says, worry about nothing, pray about everything. Now, number 3, listen to me. Think about the right thing. Now, let me teach you something if you don't know this. The Bible makes a very clear connection between sound mental health is defined in our passage as the peace of God. The Bible makes a very clear connection between sound mental health and the way one chooses to think. I need to say that again just because I need to say that again. I'm telling you, the Bible makes a clear connection about sound mental health and how one chooses to think. Now, look at verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, Is there any excellent? Is there anything worthy of praise? Here it is. Think. Think about such things. Are you listening? Now be honest, God's looking at every one of us. When we allow stress in, and problems come in, and worries come in, and concern comes in, it's because we are allowing negative, self-defeating thoughts to take over and rule our minds. I'm from the Lower East Side of the city, so I'm going to give you the Lower East Side of the city definition. You know what's wrong with us? Stankin' thinking. But now that I live in the Northland, it's called stinking thinking. And that's what's wrong with us. We allow negative, self-defeating thoughts to just move in and take over. So what should I be thinking about? Here it is. Now go through this with me. Verse 8. Here's where you put your thoughts. He says, whatever is true. Now look at me. What does that statement imply? Whatever is true. What that statement implies is that it's possible to get thoughts in our mind that are not true. And according to Dr. Calvert's research, if that's anywhere near correct, if we're spending 40% worrying about things that are never going to happen, we got a lot of stuff in our minds that aren't true. Is it true? This is rolling around in your mind. Is it true? Or are you just making this up as it goes along? Look what he says next. Whatever is honorable. Honorable means honest. Is it honest? If it isn't honest, why is it in your mind and why are you allowing it to stay there? Whatever is just. The word just means this. What you're thinking about, what you're allowing to stay in there, is it just? In other words, is what I'm thinking about, will it do God and others right? Will it do God and others right? Look what he says. Whatever is pure. If it's profane and vulgar, get it out. Why is that in your mind and why are you letting it stay in your mind? You think that's going to help you? Look what he says. Whatever is lovely. So what does that mean? I'm going to tell you what that means. Can you take what you're thinking about, what you've got on your mind, can you frame it, hang it on that wall right over there, and let all the rest of us look at it? Woo! Is it lovely? Look what he says. Is it commendable? Listen, is it worth talking about? Is it worth talking about? We get stuff on our minds and leave it there forever. It don't mean nothing to nothing. Is it worth talking about? Look what he says. Is there any excellence? Is there any excellence? You know what that means? The thing that I'm thinking about, the thing that's ruling my thoughts. Listen, will these thoughts make me a better person? Will these thoughts make me a better person? If they won't, what are you doing? Did I miss one? I didn't miss one. Now watch what he says. If there is anything worthy of praise, he says, think on these things. Think about these things. Now look at the end of verse 8, the word think. The word think there is actually a very strong word. The word think there, Paul says, I want you to give this careful consideration. Give this careful consideration. Now look at verse 8. Let's look at this list. Look at this list. Is it true? Or have you just made up some tragedy and now you thinking it's real? Is it true? Is it honest? Is what I'm thinking about, is this going to do my fellow man and God right? Is it pure? Or should it get out? Is it lovely? Is it something I could share? Is it commendable? Can I talk about this? Is it worth talking about this? Can I share this? Is it praise? Is this going to make me a better person? Listen, think about these things. Before you let something come into your mind and take up residence and live there, you make it pass through those 8 gates. If it will not pass through these 8 gates, then show it to exit. Now, here's what I'm telling you, because here's what this verse says. This teaches that spiritual stability is a result of how we choose to think. And I got a line after that. Your mental stability, your emotional stability is a result of how you choose to think. Now, don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. Somebody said that wrong thinking is like the birds. Wrong thinking is like the birds. In this respect, you can't stop birds from flying overhead. But you can dead sure stop them from building a nest on top of your head. You can't stop negative thoughts and anxious thoughts from flying over your mind. But you can dead sure keep them from walking in, laying on the couch, and taking residence in your mind. Amen. Now, let's be honest. Let's be honest. All of us, to some degree, deal with stress. All of us do. Even those who say no, they don't. And be careful with them, because if they lie about that, they lie about something else. We all deal with it to some degree. And according to everything I'm looking at, the holidays are the worst times. They're the worst times. So what do we do to survive this mountain of negative news and information that's piled onto us every day? Let me suggest this. Worry about nothing. Well, how am I going to do that? pray about everything. Listen, instead of climbing up on the wall and getting up on the ceiling, just have a seat and talk to God about this. And if you want to pray about that, Lord, what I want to do is stop praying and clean up on the ceiling. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. And then think about the right things. And the one thought you can hold on to forever is this: God is greater than your problems. God is greater than your problems. We have to learn to turn things loose in life and reach and grab something that's better. I grew up, I'm done, but I grew up in an era where the most, I'm trying to think of the right word, the most spiritual Christian, you know how we judged them? Because they looked the most miserable. Is that true? That's true. I mean, the most miserable. And they walk around. Oh, are you a Christian? And you look at them and think, dear God, I hope not, if it's going to make me look like that. Life doesn't have to be lived like that. God never intended we live like that. The most miserable don't get the best seats. And I'm talking about in heaven. You don't have to do that. I was grown before this was pounded in my head. You can go to heaven and you can enjoy the trip. That doesn't mean everything is going to go right. Because let me tell you something. Everything is not going to go right. But you can still enjoy the trip. Stop worrying about it. Start praying about it. And get you thinking to where it needs to be. This morning, if you're not a Christian, become a New Testament Christian. Obey the gospel of Jesus. Leave here with salvation in your heart. If you're here, if you need to respond, God help you do that right now as together we stand.